on a Monday evening. It is good to be back here at the Circus Sportsbook after a little trip back east. And speaking of the east, we bring in my co-host from tonight. Seen him before, but he's staying back east. He's got a beautiful backdrop of New York City where he comes to us live from. Scott Seidenberg is with us. And we got a busy night, Scott. A lot to get to. The Green Bay Packers, I think, are rejoicing quite a bit. I was just in Milwaukee this past weekend. There were a lot of unkind words for number 12. And all I had to say to all their fans was, yeah, you can say all you want, but come week one and number 10, not number 12, is your quarterback, you're not going to be very happy. So it seems like all is happy in cheese land, and Aaron Rodgers will be their quarterback, at least this year.
But I'm curious to know, did anybody think that this was not how it was all going to play out? I know there were some reports about his potential retirement, but was that really on the table, Tim, when you consider the financials of it alone, the fact that he would have to give back and forfeit so much money, and then you looked at his ability to still play this game and his age, and would he really give up the chance to continue his legacy and his career to host Jeopardy or just enjoy his life with his movie star fiance? I never bought this retirement gimmick for one bit. Plus, there's also the whole idea, Tim. And how much did you think about this? The Brett Favre comparisons. And he played under Brett Favre's shadow for so long. Do you think he wanted to be compared to Favre with the whole retirement, unretirement, retirement, unretirement thing? No, he wanted no part of this. I never for once believed that Aaron Rodgers was going to call it quits. There was some concern that maybe he would play elsewhere this year, but I'm happy to say we're going to be seeing number 12 in Green Bay for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and if you were out here, you might have taken advantage of that because there were some tweaks in the marketplace. We'll get to that in just a little bit when we get things rolling here. We've also got Ohtani Day going on right now in Los Angeles, where the Angels have a 2-0 lead over the Colorado Rockies. Shohei Ohtani already with an RBI single in the game. He's got a strikeout as well. And the Olympics are going on as we speak live in Tokyo. We're actually going to head to Tokyo, not me and you, Scott, ourselves, but we will bring in a guest live from Tokyo to get a good preview. Our good friend Steve Sands, from the Golf Channel is over there in Tokyo. But yeah, we're watching right now as my eyes drift to the NBC broadcast of a 100-meter backstroke final. Have you bet at all on the Olympics yet?
I did, and I cashed my only bet, was France plus 15 points against the United States. And I don't mean to be unpatriotic here, Tim, but there was nothing that you saw from Team USA in their exhibition games that gave you any confidence that they were just going to flip the switch when it came time to play in this Olympic tournament. And I've been kind of against this idea of, you know, sending these NBA players for a couple of years now because I'm not happy with the performance that I've seen. This is an American sport that we should be dominating in. And I understand that the rest of the world has caught up and there are some fantastic players, especially over in Europe. And you look at what that France team has, they're loaded with NBA talent. You're seeing NBA talent on all of these rosters, but it's still no excuse. The Americans should win. They have more talent. Maybe not with this squad. I don't like this team, and it was obvious to me that they were not going to cover the spread against France. I didn't think they'd lose the game outright, Tim, but 15 was too much to lay, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. There's no doubt about it. That was a no-sweat situation, but that last possession of the game, or one of the last possessions where it was three open threes and just clank, clank, and clank. So we'll see. The Americans will be back at it come late night tomorrow or early morning, depending on where you are, tomorrow against Iran. Just laying 41.5. We'll talk some USA basketball a little bit later on in the show. The United States did not bring home gold just right now as the 100-meter back, American Ryan Murphy, finishes in third, so he gets the bronze. All right, let's get the show rolling. It is the Nightcap right here on VSiN. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, that over in New York City. Scott Seidenberg, I am Tim Murray, back here in Las Vegas. Good to be back. It was a little bit of a bumpy return in, Scott. I didn't look at the weather, and you know, we're hitting some turbulence on my flight in. I'm like, what is going on? I look outside, it's pouring rain here in Las Vegas for the past couple of days, and an unusual scene as I walked into the sportsbook here at Circa, because the rain was so bad that for just a moment's time, the satellites went out for all of the screens behind us, but they're back. Don't worry, everybody. We got all the pictures that we need back up, but a little unusual, a little local weather on the eights here for folks listening all across the country, but good to have Scott by my side. We got some college football. Scott will be with me the next three nights there from New York City. Scott and I love to get deep and dirty into college football. We'll talk a little Big 12 today with the news of Texas and Oklahoma saying, yeah, we're good. We're going to get... You know what's funny, Scott? I know this was the talk late last week, and I'm always skeptical of, I don't always jump the gun. So when I saw this news initially come out, Texas and Oklahoma are going to leave the Big 12, I said, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. And lo and behold, it's not happening this year, but it seems like it's going to happen sooner than we think. We'll dive into those two particular teams, but were you surprised to see that this is ultimately going to happen, that we're going to get old school Big 8 back? Who didn't want to see that?
Well, not only are we going to get old school Big 8, but we're probably going to lean towards the whole super conference idea sooner rather than later, Tim, because you know the SEC is not done with Texas and Oklahoma. They're going to certainly look to add more teams. The ACC is going to look to expand as well, and we might be having the poor Pac-12 just playing by themselves, and the Big 8 is going to be left alone as well. This has everything to do with TV money. And, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. It's not just about the football programs. It's about the networks as well. The Longhorn Network's going to go away. The SEC Network's going to get pumped up. There's dollars and dollars and dollars beyond our comprehension that are behind these negotiations. So to see this happen, I wasn't surprised. To see it unfold so quickly, though, I was. And actually, when you take a step back and you look at how the SEC has expanded over the years, when they flirted with other teams, it's almost been a very quick transition. Like a year after they invited Missouri, you know, and then they're in next year, you know, to all these other schools that they've expanded to have kind of joined the next season. So I know that this whole deal with Texas and Oklahoma, they say we're not going to renew after 2025, which is not even a real year. Come on. They're just going to be out next year probably.
Yeah. So we will see, but we had heard for so many years that super conferences could happen. And then it seemed like things had kind of slowed. And now we seem to be on the verge of a 16-team conference in the SEC in a matter of time if Texas and Oklahoma do ultimately land there, which seems to be the likelihood. We will get to what type of teams. And I know Scott, joining me a couple weeks ago here in Vegas, talked about how high he is on Oklahoma. Hard to disagree. And we'll look at some of the Oklahoma win totals, their chances to potentially win the Big 12 and the national championship. But the news of the day was no doubt the Aaron Rodgers news, coming out that there are going to be some concessions from the Green Bay Packers when it comes to the contract. It looks like 2023 will be completely void. There will be an opportunity to go back to the table after this upcoming season for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And it could be that last dance meme that we saw, that picture that was put out on social media. And that was the crazy thing, you know, being in Milwaukee over the weekend, the joyous occasion, right, of everybody's being so excited. I got there on late Wednesday night, Scott. The parade was on Thursday, and then quickly on Friday, it was, okay, the parade's behind us. What is Aaron Rodgers going to do? The picture of Devontae Adams. First, it was the news Devontae Adams had cut off long-term negotiations or long-term contract talks with the Packers. Then you get the simultaneous Instagram posts from Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers of the Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan picture from The Last Dance. But, you know, it's funny, as everyone started freaking out in Milwaukee, and I felt like I was the only one saying, well, if it's the last dance, that means they're going to play, right? So aren't they just going to show up at camp, you know, this week? And that's what's going to happen here. So it was a wild weekend. Rumors all over the place. Sportsbooks taking futures off the board. Now they're back. They've been cut in half. And it seems like normalcy has prevailed here. Who knows what's going to happen after this year? But right now, the Green Bay Packers right back into where we expected them to be, Scott, which is favorites to win the NFC North and one of the favorites to come out of the NFC.
100%. And I was with you, Tim. When I saw that image, my first inclination was this is going to be the last dance. This is going to be the last season with Rodgers and Adams together, because you talked about the way that the contract concessions are going to go. Adams cutting off any long-term discussions. This is going to be one last ride with the two of them together to see if they can win a Super Bowl before they move on and away from Green Bay. And there's a chance that if not one, both are not playing for the Packers in 2020. So this is going to be their last dance. And you mentioned the odds, rightfully so. They're the favorites to win the NFC North. I don't trust any other team in this division besides the Packers. And even with their turmoil, I still trust the Packers more than anybody else in this division. I'm not so sure about their odds to win the Super Bowl. But, you know, there's a reason why the Bucs are getting a ton of money. And, you know, you have some other teams. The Chiefs, of course, are getting a ton of money. But certainly the Packers are up there to maybe get to the NFC title game against this Buccaneers team. And as we saw last year, and Aaron Rodgers and MVP odds as good as anybody you're going to find out there. I don't think there's any reason to be shy away from any of these Packers bets. And the news that's coming out today should just confirm your feelings on this team moving forward.
Well, and look at how last year unfolded, right? I mean, Aaron Rodgers was upset, and we knew that, or actually we didn't fully know how upset he was. And he goes out and wins MVP. I'm not saying it's going to happen again. Could it happen? Absolutely. They actually did, even though it wasn't in the first or second round, they did draft a weapon that Aaron Rodgers can utilize instead of, you know, a backup quarterback and a backup running back like they did in the first and second round last year. They went and got Amari Rodgers, who's going to probably fill right out there in the slot coming in from Clemson. You have Alan Lazard. You have, as Madden let us know, the 99 wide receiver in Devontae Adams. And I don't know about you, I got a kick out of David Bakhtiari all today, just making jokes, yes, left and right about, you know, him not being in a close circle with Aaron Rodgers. And then he said something about Devontae Adams, definitely top seven or something. So it does feel like that Aaron Rodgers is going to show up next week. Devontae Adams is going to show up next week. David Bakhtiari is going to be happy that his buddies are there. And, you know, all joking aside, and they're going to want to go out and ball. And, for a brief moment this weekend, people could have got some pretty good value on the Green Bay Packers to win this division. You know, we just showed them, you know, a little bit from what they were from DraftKings at plus 175. On Friday night here at Circa, Scott, when the rumors were flying all around, Circa did not move off of the – they did not remove the Packers, but they did make the Vikings the favorites to win the division. And you could have got the Green Bay Packers on Friday night at plus 195. Man, you would feel pretty good today sitting with a almost 2-to-1 ticket in your pocket knowing that, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is coming back, and it seems like it's going to be a last dance type of situation. Just to remind everybody, the Bulls won the championship in 1998.
Yes, despite their hatred of their general manager and everything that was going on. And, oh, how similar the situation
feels
can
like
be
it, right?
With the Green Bay Packers, right? But I look at the schedule also, Tim, and I think that this is a Packers team that's going to go over their projected win total. The first couple of games are relatively easy for them. I'm curious what that game is going to be like at San Francisco, but I don't know what the 49ers quarterback situation is going to be. So I can't necessarily say it's going to be a difficult game for them. I don't know what their quarterback situation is going to be. Week one at the Saints is going to be interesting, but I would take Aaron Rodgers and the Packers over Jameis Winston and the Saints, and or we get Taysom Hill. I don't know, but the spread on that game has moved obviously with the news as well, both over the past couple of days and then especially today. We've seen that Week One spread move, Tim.
Yeah, we've seen that Week One spread move quite a bit, And, you know, with the news of Michael Thomas being placed on the PUP and him being out the first 6 weeks, I you know, it's funny. We had Sean King in studio a couple weeks ago, and he's very high on the New Orleans Saints, believes that the Saints could win the NFC South, or at least, you know, rival or be right there with Tampa Bay. I just feel like this team is bound for a step back. I do like Jameis Winston. Even though he throws a ton of interceptions, you do have Sean Payton there. But the loss of Michael Thomas, man, that is a huge, huge loss for the New Orleans Saints. So the Green Bay Packers get to open up the season facing a banged up New Orleans Saints team with question marks at the quarterback position. So we will ultimately see there. But it feels like this Green Bay Packers team, you know, they've got a motivated Aaron Rodgers like he was last year. They really didn't lose much from a year ago. It was interesting in the free agent market. I'm not saying that this is going to be the differentiator of any stretch, but they went out and got Devin Funchess from Carolina in free agency, and he opted out last year due to COVID. So he's going to be back to a wide receiver core that is not great, but it's led by arguably the best wide receiver in the game in Davante Adams. You've got Devin Funchess. You've got Alan Lazard. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is solid. Nothing to write home about. And then I mentioned, you know, you have Amari Rodgers. They brought back Tonyan again. So they've got a lot of weapons to work with. Aaron Jones, they re-signed as well. We'll see if A.J. Dillon can do what he did, week 17 last year.
Yeah.
They drafted him in the second round. I thought that was a reach. But, hey, ultimately, they felt like he was worth a second-round pick, which is high for a running back. But they've got quite the 1-2 punch in that backfield. They've got a lot of offensive weapons to work with. And, oh, by the way, they've got, you know, the top two quarterback in the game back and motivated and wanting to win a championship and what likely will be his last season there. So, yeah, to anyone who was able to grab almost 2-1, congratulations to you. And honestly, Scott, if you can get it at, you know, minus 120 or somewhere in that ballpark, I still think that's a play, because I think the Packers ultimately, to your point, win this division. I like the way the roster is. It kind of comes together right now.
Well, because they play the Chiefs, what? Is that week 9 that they play the Chiefs?
Yeah, on the road.
There's a chance that at worst, this is a 6-2 football team. At worst, going into that Chiefs game. And they could even be 7-1. Because I look at the spreads that you're going to see in these games, home against the Lions, home against the Steelers, home against Washington, they'll be favored in all those home games. At the Bears, they'll be favored. At the Bengals, they'll be favored. At the 49ers, that's the question mark. At the Cardinals, that's a question mark as well. Not sure what the spread will be. But like I said, at worst, I think this is 6-2, maybe even a 7-1 team going into that matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. And then if you're starting out with that type of record, how do you not go on to win the division?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to who wins the NFC, that's where there might be cause for pause when you think about Tampa Bay. They're bringing back everybody, and ultimately, you think back to the NFC Championship, which was in Green Bay, a game that ultimately led to the firing of Mike Pettine. And you know, for me, a guy that was in Washington, D.C. when Washington hired Joe Barry. I didn't understand that move at the time. He gets fired, and now Matt LaFleur brings in Joe Barry to be the defensive coordinator. So I don't really agree with the decision to hire Joe Barry as their defensive coordinator to replace Mike Pettine, a guy that made some costly mistakes, especially in the NFC Championship game. But it's a football team that's 26-6 over the last 2 years. We'll talk to George Shahuri from Pro Football Focus. You know, they always point out that 2 years ago, and I tended to agree, that it was a pretty flawed 13-3 football team that, you know, beat a banged up Seahawks team in the first round, then got gashed on the ground by the 49ers. But I don't think last year you could say that a 13-3 Packers team was fraudulent. I thought that was a fair 13-3 football team, and a couple things go their way, and Aaron Rodgers maybe tucks it and runs to the 1 yard line as opposed to trying to force something in on third down. Maybe we're talking about a different situation there in the NFC Championship game.
we are 100% talking about a different situation. And how many times did we see the replay of that clip and trying to figure out exactly how much room he had to go for that first down? But I do like this Packers team. I'm going to slow down on the whole NFC race here. I'm just going to focus on the division because I love them in the division. I don't know how much I love them compared to the rest of the conference because, as you mentioned, the Buccaneers are still going to be the Bucs. The Rams are much improved. That whole NFC West is just going to be difficult. And then there's always a chance that somebody from the East just, you know, winds up surprising somebody in the playoffs. And, you know, again, I don't know what the Falcons are going to look like this year. So I'm confident in betting them to win the NFC North. As far as going to the NFC title game or representing the NFC in the Super Bowl, I'm going to hold off.
I wouldn't race to the window on the Packers, but it's funny because if you had a Vikings ticket early, I know, you know, Matt Eumanns talked about it on Follow the Money last week. He grabbed the Vikings, which is still a good ticket at plus 350 or so. It's a good price to grab it at, but this news certainly doesn't make you feel any better about that ticket. So we will see. Man, the Cam Akers news, pretty rough, though, for the Rams. We'll get to a little week one Saints and Packers in just a little bit. We'll get you updated, though. We got some Olympics going on as we speak over in Tokyo. Ohtani Day in Los Angeles. We're up and running. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. Just had ourselves a little bit of an upset in the pool. This is why, Scott, we got to bet on the long shots in the Olympics. Lydia Jacoby out of Seward, Alaska, your 100 meter breaststroke gold medalist, USA, getting it done. Imagine having to face up there in Seward, Alaska, having to face a future gold medalist in any race, but she stuns the Olympic world. She was plus 700 to bring home the gold in this race. Lily King, the defending gold medalist, gets the bronze. She was plus 120, but Lydia Jacoby out of Seward, Alaska. I'm watching right now. They're showing the watch party up in Seward, Alaska, and people are losing their minds in what looks like a gymnasium of sorts up there in good old Seward, Alaska.
Not sure what the competition is like for her growing up in that town and in that state, certainly. But listen, good enough to make it to the U.S. Olympic team and, you know, go through the trials and now represent her country in Tokyo and win a gold medal. So congratulations. It certainly is, you know, an incredible achievement. And I've never heard of the town, but I'm there. Whoever's from there certainly has, and they're very proud, I'm sure.
Yeah. So pretty cool there. It's funny. I know there are people, I mentioned him in the last segment. I know our good friend Matt Eumann's not the biggest Olympic fan, and we don't break it down because, look, Scott, we try to handicap things and give our analysis. I couldn't tell you who should win this outside of, you know, Lily King won this event in 2016. That's the best I could have done. But just watching this and be able to tie in a little bit. But man, so a cool moment right there. So it looks like the evening in the pool is concluded. We will get into the Olympics a little bit later on, Scott, because we've got Team USA back at it tomorrow night against Iran, laying 41.5. We've got the U.S. women's soccer team will be playing later on tonight. We've got a gold medal in softball to be handed out. So we got a couple things to get to, but a fun night in the pool. And Lydia Jacoby, excuse me, from Seward, Alaska, looks like she stuns the world a little bit as she brings home the gold medal. Something that's a little bit more near and dear to your heart. How about Shohei Ohtani? So far, two innings, two hits, one strikeout so far for Shohei Ohtani, and an RBI single. So on Ohtani Day. The Angels right now have a 2-0 lead in the top of the third, and you have some of the prop bets there from DraftKings, plus 450 to hit a homer, plus 165 to record the win tonight, allow a homer, minus 110 was the yes, minus 120 on the no. Hits allowed 3.5. He's already allowed 2 through 2 1/3 here, and strikeouts, you got some work to do as that was sitting at 6.5. And right now, just 1 strikeout through 2 1/3 as we're in the top of the third inning out in Los Angeles.
You know, what's been so amazing is ever since he got lit up by the Yankees and had that absolute terrible outing, which everyone started to question the idea of pitching him and having him in the lineup in the same day, because you really do, you know, handcuff yourself if he has a bad outing. Well, he hasn't had a bad outing since. He's been much, much better ever since that outing, and maybe that's the one that set him straight. You wondered if the home run derby would affect him at all. It has not here in the second half, and he's on his way towards a very likely American League MVP award.
Yeah, earlier today we saw a split of a doubleheader. Atlanta taking 1-2, and then the Mets winning 1-0 as well. So not a huge night on the baseball diamond when it comes to things. But how about the start for the Houston Astros tonight, Scott? 6 runs right now in the top of the first inning. 6 runs on 5 hits in that one. We had 2 homers, including a 3-run shot from Tucker. So the Houston Astros off to a 6-0 lead. It's actually not 6-0 yet, because we still have the Mariners to come to plate. But bottom one right now in Seattle, and the Astros up 6-0. So I would imagine, Scott, the first 5 over has already hit there in Seattle.
Yes, it has. However, you know, the spread is, nothing is done, especially in Major League Baseball this year, and we've seen how many games get blown in the later innings. So to say that this one's over, you can't say it right now. I wonder what the live line is on Seattle. I'm not saying anyone should take it, but it could be fun to root for. But it's certainly a great start, especially if you had the Astros. If you had the Astros on the run line, you know, this would have been a very good opportunity to take the Astros on the run line with them being a favorite and on the road. Every time you bet a run line favorite, you always want to make sure that they're the road team to make sure that they have the 9 at bats versus the 8 at home.
VSiN football betting guides are coming soon, and there's no better way to prepare for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Each guide is only $20, and discounts are available when you buy both. Now is the time to reserve your copy or sign up for VSiN All Access and get everything we offer for the entire football season. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is the nightcap here on VSiN. Scott Seidenberg in New York City. Tim Murray with you live from the Circa Sportsbook here in Las Vegas. We've got some Olympic craziness as the people in Seward, Alaska are going nuts. They showed like a gymnasium, Scott, where they were watching this unfold. As we talked about Lydia Jacoby from Seward, Alaska, winning the breaststroke. She was, I believe, plus 700 to win the gold medal tonight. I think some other spots had it at 10-1. So an upset there in the pool tonight. We will get to what has been maybe the disappointment of the game so far when it comes to the United States, their basketball team, a little bit later on in the show. But the big news of the day, Scott, no doubt about it, is that we will see Aaron Rodgers, at least it seems, in week 1 and for the season as a Green Bay Packer. Now, will he play after this season? That we don't know. The concessions that were made, 2023 voided out of his contract. That's reporting right now. And they will go back to the table, and maybe after this season, it'll be all over in Green Bay for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But He is expected to be back this year, meaning week one at New Orleans. Over the weekend, Green Bay was a three-point underdog at New Orleans, and now looking like in some spots as just a one-point underdog. So, I'm not a big fan of grabbing dogs on the road or this close, but man, with the motivation factor of this Green Bay team, and it seems like that final year, that last dance mentality that Aaron Rodgers is wanting to portray. And it feels like it's a tempting proposition to grab the old Green Bay Packers there in week one.
Yeah, it certainly is. The only hesitation would be the crowd and the atmosphere, you know, with stadiums back to 100% or as close to 100% as possible. And, in that dome, it's certainly going to be nuts with those fans there. But I don't like the quarterback situation for the Saints. And I love the Packers quarterback. There's nothing not to love. Plus, I think that this Packers team could actually add a piece or two here in the offseason. Now, I don't know who's available that's left to add. But I think Aaron Rodgers might have some say in the way that this team will look come September. So they're going to head to their, training camp, and they're going to get things worked out. And Aaron Rodgers with the, working out his deal, him and Adams, the last dance, they're going to give it one more ride here. But there could be some tweaks maybe coming down the line. I wouldn't be surprised. But this Packers team, to me, is the rightful favorite to win the NFC North. And I would take them as the dog there in New Orleans. And I think that is a very winnable game for the Packers. And I do expect them to come away with a win.
Well, it's nice to pull up the handy dandy Circa app, and just did so looking at it. And the Packers now a 2.5-point favorite against the New Orleans Saints. So there you go. how often do we talk about, man, we should have made this bet then? You had an opportunity to get the Green Bay Packers getting a field goal against the New Orleans Saints. Granted, there was uncertainty. I'll be honest. I know you were pretty confident. There was a part of me, I didn't think that Aaron Rodgers would retire, but the weird similarities of the Carson Palmer situation with them having the same agent and David Dunn, and what Carson Palmer did in the early 2000s saying, I'm not playing until you trade me, and he sat out the beginning of the year. Ultimately, he got traded to the Oakland Raiders. I thought we would see a situation where maybe Aaron Rodgers sat out a week or two, and that's why I wouldn't have grabbed the points with the Green Bay Packers, just because of who knew who would have been the starting quarterback if that situation unfolded. Obviously, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, and that's why right now here at Circa, you've got the Green Bay Packers laying 2.5 instead of getting 3, which is what the line was at over the weekend.
It's just a matter of, look, your feel and your willingness to place a bet. Think about all the people that went out and bought Denver Broncos futures because of the rumors that the Packers were going to trade Aaron Rodgers to the Denver Broncos. Well, now you're sitting here with a Broncos AFC championship ticket or a Broncos Super Bowl ticket or a Broncos team total, win total over. And it's not Aaron Rodgers under center. So how do you feel about that ticket now? So, yeah, I mean, look, you could have purchased your Packers plus 3.5, but if it's Jordan Love under center and they go into New Orleans and they lose by a touchdown, you wouldn't feel so great about that. But now we know it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. Devontae Adams will be there, barring any health issues with the team, and they are the rightful favorites in that game. And like I said before, I do expect them to win that game. They're better than the New Orleans Saints. This Packers team is better than the rest of the teams in their division and most of the teams in the NFC. I think they're a candidate to go over their win total. They're certainly my pick to win that division, and maybe an attractive, Super Bowl future, even though those odds have dropped dramatically.
Well, and I would say this right now, we're still, what are we, a month and a half away, Scott, from that game taking place, and that number isn't incredibly advantageous or sexy to grab, but it is a little appealing sitting there at 2.5, because I could tell you one thing, barring injury, which obviously could always happen in training camp. We saw the Cam Akers situation, mentioned that a little bit earlier in the hour, happening in Los Angeles, which is such a devastating blow. I guess devastating is a little too strong, but it's a big blow, no doubt about it, for the Los Angeles Rams. With Sean McVay, I think they might be able to overcome it a little bit. But still, you lose one of your best offensive players. So, yes, you could see someone go down with injury, whether it be in training camp or a preseason game. But assuming health, I can tell you one thing. I think that line will absolutely be north of 3 by that time that game kicks off at 4:25 Eastern on September 12th.
That's a safe bet. And then you're going to be sitting here going, well, road favorites are sucker bets. So yeah, right. I'm not going to lay the 3.5 with the Packers.
I'm going to put the Saints in a teaser. So, that'll be talked about quite a bit too. But yeah, if you like the Packers and, you know, right now you're riding the Rodgers high, I wouldn't play it right now just because I don't look at it as that great of a value play. But if you do like the Packers, it's going to be longer, so play it now because that'll be 3.5, 4 by the time kickoff comes around. What does George Shahuri from Pro Football Focus think of Aaron Rodgers returning? Is there any bets that he would like to place now? We'll talk to him next. That's Scott Seidenberg. I'm Tim Murray right here on the Nightcap on VSiN. Searches through millions of resumes and Indeed's database to deliver candidates who fit your job description instantly. More at Indeed.com/credit. Let's say, Scott, you went on Indeed and you said, quality closer, Brad Hand's resume may not come up right now because he just gave up a 3-run homer and blew his second straight save in consecutive days. No big deal. That happens. Nats lose to the Phillies 6-5, and as a Nats fan, I wanted Brad Hand to look good so we could get something for him, but he just blew his second straight save. So, okay, moving on. Let's go to football. So let's cheer people up because that's what we want to talk about. I might just go back and watch that video of the folks from Seward, Alaska going crazy because that put a smile on my face. All right, let's bring in George Shahuri, my guy, at @PFF_George. George, what did you make? What conspiracy theory did you conjure up with the Last Dance Instagram posts? Were you expecting them to call it quits over the weekend to try to play basketball for the Bulls? What was your thought process of Devontae and Aaron Rodgers Instagramming?
Devontae actually probably could play basketball for the Bulls. He is a great basketball player. I realized that I have played against him before, actually. We both grew up in the same area and didn't know it. So that was actually not where my head went. I'll say this, Tim, I'm 2-0 against Adam Schefter. I don't like to gloat, okay? I'm not one of those people. But I just did not buy that Aaron Rodgers is actually going to retire. I just did not. And I've been betting that accordingly over the past couple of weeks. Took the Packers 20-1 to win the Super Bowl, then took them 35-1 to win the Super Bowl when that announcement was made that he's contemplating retirement. So when at the crack of dawn on Saturday, I think it was like close to midnight or whatever, when I saw those Instagram posts, both he and Devontae, I was alone, but there were probably people in my apartment building that could hear me shout for joy because I was pretty excited. I was pretty confident that meant they were both coming back.
George, Scott Seidenberg here. Yeah, I guess the question that I want to know is, do you have Devontae Adams rated as high as Madden does?
99 overall. I mean, he was our highest rated wide receiver last year, so I have no qualms with that. I've actually done like a pretty bit, not a 180, but I have really come around to Devontae Adams, and I do agree that he's the best receiver in the NFL. I'm not sure he's the receiver I would take first if I were starting a team, which I think is a weird thing to think about. I think Tyreek Hill would be in that conversation because of just like the uniqueness of his game. But, Devontae Adams has his ability to separate at the catch point is just absolutely unbelievable. And there's a reason that even though he's the only receiver on his team, he deals with fewer contested catch situations than any receiver, any outside receiver in the NFL, and that's a testament to his separation. And that that translates. Like, he's going to be able to keep that for a while. So I am in agreement with it. I think I might give a couple other guys 99s, though. I think that makes the game more fun.
I agree. Yeah, why not? We're talking to George Zahouri, our good friend at PFF underscore George. Check out the PFF forecast. He and Eric Eager, another friend of the program, they do a great job, breaking down all things futures bets, and certainly when the season comes, breaking down games by game. Looking at right now where we stand with the NFC North, George, at DraftKings, Packers back to the odds-on favorite at -130. Same here at Circa at -140. Over the weekend, I know you were smart to be grabbing those plus prices when the Vikings became the favorite to win the division there for a little bit. But looking at it right now, because unfortunately, Doc's DeLorean, as I keep working on it in my garage, I can't get it to fix just yet, but I'm trying to work on it. But at -130, is that still a decent play for the Packers to win the NFC North, in your opinion?
That's interesting. I don't think you're obviously not getting the best of that
sure.
number right now. It's interesting that, if you're coming in to bet it right now and you're thinking to yourself, well, I've now got the confidence that not only are they coming back, but like this is kind of that last hurrah. And that might give you kind of that extra, oomph that you need. We have the Packers at about 64% mm-hmm. To win. So if you're -130, I mean, I think it makes sense. I just don't like it a ton in the sense that I don't like to bet, I would rather bet some of those more plus price options in divisions, where I don't want to tie up my money for as long. But I can definitely get behind it. I think if you are though, you might be really hoping that Andy Dalton plays a few games, right? I think that's it. I mean, you're definitely getting some value there, right? Like according to our simulations, you're definitely getting past that break-even price. But all it takes is an Aaron Rodgers injury, for a couple games, and you've brought both those teams into it. So, even if it's his last dance, I'm not sure that we can count on his last dance being as successful as MJ's. I wouldn't bet on that necessarily.
George, as far as the overreactions are concerned, take Aaron Rodgers out of the equation. In fact, take all the quarterbacks in this division out of the equation. In terms of the roster analysis, who has the best roster in the NFC North outside of the quarterback position?
In my opinion, and in the opinion of, looking at kind of the PFF grading across the board and the important positions, to me, it really comes down to the Bears and the Packers. I think the Packers have the better supporting cast. Now, it's tough because Aaron Rodgers is, we were talking about this on the forecast on Sunday, Eric and I, that really great quarterbacks are the ones that not only are they great, but they make the other players around them great. And so if Rodgers weren't there, I'd certainly expect people to have a lower opinion of Davante Adams, for example, right? Big Bob Tonyan, certainly. But their defense is very sound. They have a great secondary. And the offensive line, I think, is the tipping point for me. So the Bears have a much weaker offensive line than the Packers do. I made the point, though, a couple days ago that if it were Jordan Love and Justin Fields, if those were the two quarterbacks, like I think Justin Fields more than makes up for the difference in supporting cast. So that kind of gives you a barometer for how close I feel they are. But that's also the reason why I thought it was ridiculous that Aaron Rodgers was going to retire, because he has an amazing supporting cast and he likes those guys. And why would you not run it back one more time in a weak NFC? It just made too much sense to me.
Yeah, and George, I know you weren't, and I'll be honest. I mean, you to me, you don't spend a second round pick on a running back and then re-sign a running back like the Packers did. However, for 2021's purposes, having Aaron Jones is beneficial to the Green Bay Packers, and now their 1-2 tandem is pretty good in Jones and Dylan, even though we saw a pretty limited sample size. They actually went out, even though it wasn't a first or second round pick, they spent draft capital on a wide receiver in Amari Rodgers in the third round. He probably is, you know, immediately the slot wide receiver there for the Packers. So you mentioned, you know, the surrounding cast. You have arguably the best left tackle in the game and David Bakhtiari there, who's a tremendous tweeter. So when you look at the NFC right now, no surprise, the Buccaneers are your favorites to win the NFC. The Rams, they lose Cam Akers, but Sean McVay, pretty smart guy, might be able to work around that. The 49ers. So the Packers around 8-1, at least at DraftKings, with the talent that is there. Do you look at the Packers as being an intriguing play at 8-1 to win the NFC?
8-1, I don't think you're getting tremendous value. Let me look at our numbers here. So we have them at about, if I remember correctly, about 11% to make it to win the Super Bowl, and about, 19% to win it. So, I personally think, you know, again, that's not going to be a really good value. It's just going to be tough for them, obviously, if they get matched up with the Bucks to win it. I would definitely look at some longer shots. Like, I think your time to bet the Packers has probably come and gone. and I would, if you snap them up at some really plus prices, I would go and celebrate a little bit, maybe not just a little bit. I'll give you one, though, that I think is interesting, is, and I'm not sure if you can find this, but I saw somewhere that they were still an underdog in week one to the Saints in New Orleans. And if that's the case, that would be the way that I would bet the Packers right now.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
George.
Not, unfortunately, George, we were talking about that earlier in the show. I pulled up the handy dandy app and Circa said, no, Green Bay -2.5. And I said, yeah. So,
well, you still for three, man. I think I would do it.
Yeah.
I think I would do it. Now, I would recommend people go get a little PFF subscription. They can see where we land.
All right.
And get a hint. They have a 40% off sale. It's ending tonight.
Ooh.
So save 40 is the promo code. You can get it for 40% off. Go make that happen before the buzzer sounds.
My man, and before that, the segment ends, which happens in 5 seconds. There he is, George Shahouri at PFF _ George. He knows how to promote his product. You should listen to him as well. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN.